You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
I'm so thankful for this opportunity to come around the Word with you this morning as we continue on in our Faith series. And you know, can I encourage you, we as a pastoral team through this Faith series are believing that God is going to stir something in our hearts. God is going to build something in us, a greater faith, a greater confidence, a greater assurance to see what God is doing. You know, that we will individually, as families and corporately, we will go, wow, God, this is what you've already done. Let's see what you're going to do next. And that we will look in anticipation and expectation for what God is going to do. So, you know, our scripture through this series has been Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. You know, as I look across the room, I know there are things that we are hoping for. I know there are things that we do not yet see, but we want to see. I know there are dreams, there are promises, there are things we are believing for that we do not yet see. But can I declare that through this faith series, through us building faith, through us stepping up and growing in our faith, that we will see a shift in that family member. We will see that relationship be restored. We will see that financial provision. We will see that opportunity come to pass. We will see that health issue resolved. We will see that house come about. Because as we stand on the promises of God, as we stand firm in our faith, that we are going to see that breakthrough. So would you join me this morning as I open in prayer? Lord God, I just thank you that you are the giver of every good and perfect thing, Lord. We just honor you as our source, our provider, and the God that is above everything. Holy Spirit, as I speak this morning, would you speak to our hearts? Would you build faith in our hearts? Would you cause us to rise up and shift in our thinking, in our patterns, in our actions? Because we want to see your breakthrough. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd love to ask you guys your opinion. Who here loves an underdog story? You know, an underdog story where the team or the person who's not expected to win or get an outcome, you know, who loves an underdog story? I do. I definitely love an underdog story. You know, I think of a few underdog stories we know in our world. The movie Cool Runnings is based on the Jamaican bobsled team. How good is that movie? Like, you know, this team who live in a tropical country, never seen snow or ice, they qualify for the 1988, let me get my facts right, Winter Olympics. You know, I think of Kathy Freeman. We have the famous picture that we see in like her full get-up where she won the 400 meters at the 2000 Sydney Olympics. But you know, there she was the favorite. But if we rewind back to 1990 in the left corner, she was part of the team that won the 4x100 in the 1990 Commonwealth Games. Now, they were the underdogs in that one. You know, she was unknown. People didn't know who she was, but they won the 4x100. You know, another underdog story that I think of, and maybe it's a bit of a contentious one whether this is an underdog story, but it's the story of Stephen Bradbury. Now, I didn't know this story until I moved to Australia, but I don't know if you've heard of this story before. Anyone heard the story of Stephen Bradbury? You know, for me not growing up in Australia, I didn't know it. But essentially what happened is he was competing in the 1,000-meter short track skating event, as you can see, and he was in last place. But all the other competitors were like going hard and pushing through, and at the very end, all the other three fell over, and he skated to the finish and won the gold medal. Now, that's an underdog story if I ever heard one, but it is a bit contentious, people tell me, because was he really the underdog, or did he just get lucky? I'll leave it up to interpretation. You know, since living here in Australia, I've learned that the underdog story is a big part of the culture. And, you know, as I studied more about it and read more about it, it's because we believe that everyone should have a fair go. We think, you know, and the person that's least expected to win and has a fair go, when they win, you're like, oh, this is amazing. See, when an underdog is in play, the probability of success is low. The probability of them seeing the outcome is low. The definition of probability is the extent to which an event is likely to occur, or the likelihood of an outcome happening. And you know, the title of my message this morning is Beyond Probability. Because you know, I believe that our faith can believe beyond what is likely to happen, beyond what is probable, beyond what we naturally think, because we serve a miracle-working God, because we serve a God who's not defined by probability, who can work above and beyond the probability, who can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. And so, I want us to learn today, I want us to stand today and grow in seeing that come to pass. You know, can I encourage you? The Bible has so many accounts where the probability of the desired outcome was low. You know, you think of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, being delivered from the Egyptians and crossing the Red Sea. The probability of that actually happening, if I think in like a logical sense, is very, very low. If we think of Abraham and Sarah, you know, well past childbearing age, but God did something that went beyond probability. You know, Pastor Rachel spoke about the walls of Jericho and them falling down a couple of weeks ago to kick off our faith series. Now, if you think about it, solid walls falling over with the shout. You know, the natural mind goes, the probability of that is so low, but God. Can I encourage you, in each of these accounts, God moved powerfully and the naturally unlikely happened. In each of the accounts, the probability was low. The probable outcome didn't happen, though. God's supernatural, miracle-working power did. You know, so today as we continue on in our faith series, I want to look at one of the great stories where God moved beyond probability. A story of the underdog. The story of David and Goliath. You know, this is a well-known story. Many of you might know it. In case you don't, though, let's go through a quick recap. The story of David and Goliath is found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. So if you've got your Bibles with you, I'd encourage you to turn to 1 Samuel 17 either in your Bible or your Bible app on your phone. Let me give you a bit of backstory though, because it's quite a long passage. The Israelites are in battle against the Philistines, who are causing them so much grief. The Philistines have this champion. His name is Goliath. He is a well-trained soldier. The Bible says he's over 9 feet tall, and he pretty much has oversized everything, like oversized armor, oversized weapons, oversized everything. You know, the Bible describes him as daily taunting the Israelite army. The Israelites were terrified. They're running away from battle. David comes along. He's this young person. He works as a shepherd. But his father sends him to deliver food to his brothers who are on the battlefield and just to see how they're going. David arrives at the battle goal and he sees everyone terrified. He boldly asks this, "Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he's allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" What a bold statement. Who is this pagan Philistine? You know, his brothers tell him off for being so bold and arrogant. But King Saul hears of him saying this and sends for him. We pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 32 to 37, if you're following on your Bibles or on the screen. This is David speaking to Saul. "Don't worry about this Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go fight him." "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. Low probability. You're only a boy and he's been a man of war since his youth." But David persisted. "I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats," he said. "When a lion or bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and I rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God." Verse 37, "The Lord who rescued me, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." Saul finally consented. "All right, go ahead." And he said, "May the Lord be with you." You know, my friends, if you're taking notes this morning, a faith that believes beyond probability involves point number one, recalling what God has done before. Recalling what God has done before. See, a lion, a bear would come for David's sheep. He would go after it with a club, grab it by the jaw and kill them. Now, I don't know about you, but the probability of a young man being able to do that sounds pretty low to me. Fighting an animal with its bare hands and winning. But David's declaration was one of great faith, of assurance and confidence. In verse 37, "The Lord who rescued me, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the claws of the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. The Lord who rescued me before will rescue me again. I can recall what God has done before and he will do it again." David knew what God had done before and he recalled it and he said he would do it again. Friends, for us today, this is fundamental. Knowing who God is, knowing what he has done, recalling what he has done. What have you seen God do in your life that you can recall? Declaring he will do it again today. What amazing things have you seen God do in your life that as you recall, you go, "Oh, oh yeah, I remember that time God did that. He can do it again. You know, I'm so confident if I went across this room and asked every single person that you, I would hear testimony after testimony of how God has done miraculous things in your life. You know, job opportunities at exactly the right moment, a rental or a home becoming available when one was needed, a long-awaited child or grandchild coming about through the miraculous power of God, healing from sickness or injury. The list could go on and on. We would be here all day talking about it. But time and time again, I know God has done good things in your life and He will do it again. He will do it again. You and I can be confident that He is the best and highest for you. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to purpose, according to His purpose. Not some things, all things. In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. And you know, I understand this assurance and confidence, it doesn't happen instantly. It's like, it's not like, yep, we're all sorted. You know, if I was David, I'd probably be terrified the first time I faced that bear or lion. But God delivered him in that moment. Can I encourage you that God's previous breakthrough builds faith to take steps to the next breakthrough? The previous breakthrough you've seen builds faith to take steps to that next breakthrough. You know, personally for me, there have been moments where I've been unsure whether I can or should step out in faith. But you know, time and time again, as God has proven himself faithful in the little things, it's a building block that has built faith so that when God had called upon me to trust for the bigger things, I'm like, do you know what? I can recall what you've done before. You were faithful then. I know you will be faithful now. See, that's what David did. The same God who delivered me then against the bear and the lion, He will deliver me today. The same God who delivered you from that thing, the same God who brought breakthrough previously will bring it again. He will do it again. You know, Marianne, for the things you're believing for, I know you're a woman of great faith and you've seen God do great things, but He's going to do it again. The story's not over yet. He is going to do it again. Keep stepping up in faith. Keep stepping up believing that God will do immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine. Because a faith that sees beyond probability, a faith that sees the unlikely happen, involves recalling what He's done before, letting that stir our faith because He will do it again, just like He did in David's life. So we see as David speaks to Saul, rescue him again. David is then given the green light. You know, Saul says, yep, go and fight him. May the Lord be with you. But then Saul tries to prepare David for the fight. Let's return to the account in 1 Samuel 17. We're reading from verse 38. Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put it on, he strapped the sword over it and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. I can't go in these, he protested to Saul. I'm not used to them. So David took them off again. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into his shepherd's bag. Then armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. You know, we see this picture of David trying on Saul's armor, but going, I can't do this. I'm not used to them. Instead, he takes his staff, his sling, and gets 5 stones. You know, for us today, in growing in our faith, can I encourage that it's time to pick up your sling? It's time to pick up your sling. See, it's time to walk in your God-given abilities, your God-given direction, your God-given preparation. You know, Pastor Lee spoke about this last week, that faith is more than just a feeling or a fingered cross kind of moment hoping for the best. It involves action. James 2:17, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. You know, if you think about it, even though David came to deliver food, he had his sling with him. He was armed with his sling. Even though he had a purpose of delivering food, he came ready for action. He was prepared. See, he had his sling. Now, this was no ordinary sling. You know, this is not like a sling like what we'd see picking up what you made with a couple of twigs. Pastor Ozzy was saying this on Friday. You know, they used to make slings with like a piece of wood and a couple of like rubber bands. You know, that's the sling that they would make. It was not a sling like that. It was more like a hammer throw that you see in the Olympics. It was a sling like that. You know, and that's something that requires skill, that requires strength, that requires preparation to be able to use to do that. It wasn't just like David rocked up and was like, I'm going to use this sling. See, Saul offered him other things, but he said, I'm not used to this. I can't go in this. He needed to walk in his God-given preparation, his God-given ability, his God's given direction. See, David's preparation with that sling meant that when he was called to deliver food, but he saw something that needed to happen, that needed to step out in faith, he was able to pick up his sling and say, I can take on this Goliath. I can walk in my God-given direction and abilities. Can I encourage you, my friend, it's time for you to walk in your God-given direction, preparation, abilities, not someone else's. Not someone else's. Maybe sometimes we try and put on someone else's armor, someone else's weapons, someone else's way of doing things. But what has God asked you to do? Hear my heart here. There's areas that we need to grow in and develop. Perhaps there's people who are further along the journey of faith that we're like, do you know what? I want to model myself after them. I want to learn from their faith. I want to grow from them. That's great. But perhaps sometimes we try and put on someone else's armor. Try and do things in a way that someone else has, when really God has a way that he has directed you to do. You know, I think about Pastor Lee's example last week about how he and the family lived by train tracks until they had their house. You know, maybe I could go, oh, I need to do that. I need to go and move into somewhere near train tracks in order to see the outcome. But, you know, is that what God has directed me to do? You know, what has God given me? What is his directions, his ability, and his preparation for you and I? What is your sling that you need to pick up? Pick up your sling today. What is God's direction to you? What is God's ability that he has given to you? Because it's time to step up, to be prepared, to act in faith. But can I encourage you that this is not something we do in our own strength? God works in you and I. Philippians 2:13 says this, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. God works in us. We can ask him for his strength and ability. So what is your sling that you need to pick up? What is God directing you to do? Is it to have that conversation? Is it to speak to that family member? To put in that job application, to speak to that healthcare professional, to start or finish that study, to be disciplined in reading the word, to persist or dig deeper or start in prayer, to talk to that person God has put on your heart, to take steps to overcome that habit. You know, insert in there, what is your sling? What sling do you need to pick up? What is your God-given direction, preparation, and ability? As you do this, as you pick up your sling, know that God is always working on your behalf. He is on your side and working on your behalf. You know, Jesus, when challenged by the religious people about healing on the Sabbath, he says in John 5:17, my Father is always working, and so am I. We have a God who is always working, working on our behalf, interceding for us. My friend, pick up your sling. Pick up your sling and step up in what God has equipped you to do. We see David doing that. He picked up his sling. He went to face Goliath. He recalled what God had done. And then he meets Goliath. Let's continue the account in 1 Samuel 17:41-47. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. Am I a dog, he said. He roared at David, that you come at me with a stick. And he cursed David by the name of his gods. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, oversized weapons. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people. The Lord rescues his people, but not with the sword or spear. This is the Lord's battle. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. You know, we see that as David comes out to meet Goliath, Goliath taunted him. You're only a boy, sneers in contempt. Come over here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds. But David wasn't deterred. David spoke the power of God's name to Goliath. I come to you in the name of the Lord's heaven's armies, the gods of the armies of Israel. You know, we have that same power. Ephesians 1 talks about Paul's prayer that we would know the same mighty power, the greatness of the power that is available to those who believe, the same mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead. David spoke of the power of God to Goliath. He declares in verse 46, "Today the Lord will conquer you." Not, "I'm going to conquer you." "Today the Lord will conquer you." And then in verse 47, "This is the Lord's battle." You know, it is the Lord's battle. He declared God would do it. You know, for us today, as we pursue faith, as we look to step out in faith, as we believe for that beyond probability, let's be honest, sometimes doubt, uncertainty can creep in. Sometimes the enemy will taunt us with the lie, "Will God really do it? Can he really do it? You believe for it before, you haven't seen it. Is he really going to do it?" You know, sometimes in the waiting, in the delay in seeing the miracle happen, the taunts can start to take over our mind. Can I encourage you today, like David, to point number 3, counter the taunts with God's truth. You know, counter the lies of the enemy with God's truth. Speak the power of Jesus. The same mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to those who believe. That's you and I. That's not a select few. That's you and I. Speak the power of Jesus, the name of Jesus, over that lie. Take that thought captive, replace it with the truth, and declare that the miracle, the outcome, the victory is the Lord's. It is his battle. You know, Pastor Lee spoke over it that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, that the battle is the Lord's, that he will bring about the victory, that we don't have to strive and strive and strive, but we can choose to position ourselves with the faith that goes beyond probability, with the faith that says, "God, I see what's happening in the natural, but I'm believing for greater things. I'm believing that you can do that which is beyond probability." Then watch God do what only he can. Watch God do above and beyond what probability would say. Watch God do the miraculous, supernatural that only he can. So now if we recollect the story, we have David recalling what God has done before. We have him picking up his sling, ready for battle. But if we think about this here, you know, and in my imagination, I have this picture of like a boxing ring. And, you know, in the red corner over here, we have Goliath, over 9 foot tall. He's like oversized everything, been training in war since he was youth. And in the blue corner, we have David, a shepherd boy, armed only with his sling, 5 stones, and his shepherd gear. Now, if we were purely looking at probabilities, you think you'd know what the expected outcome would be. In the red corner, your fighting person. In the blue corner, your young person here. But God moved beyond probability as the team comes up. God moved beyond probability. And we see in 1 Samuel 17:48 to 51, as Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in and Goliath stumbled and fell down face to the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. David used it to kill him and cut off his head. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they turned and ran. What an amazing outcome. What a moment that goes beyond the laws of probability. David triumphs over Goliath with only a sling and a stone. But you know, can I encourage you today that David's real weapon wasn't the sling. It was his faith in God. It was his assurance, his confidence that God would move. He was so bold and full of faith, assured and confident in what God would do. You know, my friends, God moved powerfully then. The probable outcome didn't happen. God's supernatural outcome did. God's miracle did. The unlikely outcome happened. God did it then. God will do it again today. See, David stepping out in faith, saw victory from the enemy, not just for himself, but all the Israelites. You stepping out in faith, my friend, believing for what is improbable, is part of you seeing the victory, but others will see the victory because of it too. So what are you believing for, my friend? What are you believing for in faith that naturally seems so unlikely to occur? What are you crying out to God and saying, I cannot comprehend how this could ever happen? but I have a faith that goes beyond the probable or likely outcome. I have a faith that believes that that family member will come to God. I have a faith that will believe that there is a breakthrough coming for my child or for my children. I have a faith that believes there will be a shift in that relationship, that relationship will be restored. I have a faith that believes that this issue will be resolved. I have a faith that can see that habit be broken. I have a faith that can see that healing for that health issue to come about in Jesus' name, because we serve a mighty God, because we serve a God who goes beyond probability and can do the impossible. See, the cornerstone of our faith, the very essence of our faith, Jesus dying on the cross and rising again, the probability of that in the natural is nearly zero, of someone dying and rising up again. But that is the cornerstone of our faith. If that is the cornerstone of our faith, how can we not believe for the bigger things? How can we not believe for God to do more? How can He not believe for God to do each and everything that we are believing for? Sorry about that. You know, whatever it is you're believing for, God is able to do immeasurably more. God is able to do immeasurably more. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says this: "Now all glory to God, who's able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine." All glory to God to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. There is so much more, my friends. You know, I stand here today walking that journey. There's time and time again in my life where I've had to step out in faith. You know, getting further along in my 30s, the probability of meeting someone who is a Christian is very, very low. But you know, through God working in a circumstance that could have been intended for evil, that the enemy intended for evil, but God brought about good, there is a Bevan and I today. You know, that is a testimony of who God is. You know, in my life, I've shared this before, but trusting God for a house, that was something that was a big deal for me. That was something that was a big faith step. And you know, when the prices of everything went up with timber and everything, our builder could have said, "We're going to put the price of your house up." But I said to God, "I cannot do that. I cannot see that happen. I'm believing that that will not happen." And the builder came back and said, "They're not putting up the price." You know, the probability of that is low. Like the probability of that, like they're a business, they're not a charity. But for them to say, "No, we're not going to do this. We're not going to put the price up." That is a testimony of the mighty God we serve. You know, and I'm not unique in this. Again, as I go across the room, that we serve a God who is mighty. The same God who raised Jesus from the dead. His power is accessible to you and I today. That there is a measure of faith that is rising in me, that is rising in us as a church to see things shift. Let's recall who God is. Let's recall what He's done in the past. Let's step out. Let's pick up our slings, whatever He's called us to. Let's meet the doubts and the lies of the enemy with the truth of God's word, with what He has said He will do. And let's watch as God moves powerfully. Let's watch as God moves powerfully.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.